The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go, 6:13. It's begun to snow on the North Shore. It's coming. It's going to be snowing. Your snow window today is between, like, I think 8 a.m. and maybe 3 to 4 p.m. here in the city. They don't know about accumulation yet. Dave Cohen joins me, Tommy Tucker, here on WWL.
It's coming down in Gonzales and Hammond.
All right, something in Gonzales fierce. And Hammond, Dave says, coming down something fierce. Jacob Pisho, PIO for Louisiana State Police Troop B joins us, Public Information Office. Good morning, Trooper. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm trying to stay warm. How are y'all?
I'll bet. We saw you on TV just now, and I saw you behind the governor yesterday, and I know you're busy, so thank you for giving us the time. Let's talk about where you can get from to and from where, and state highways as opposed to local roads, what's open and what's closed. And let's start, I guess, Trooper, with, for people that are thinking of coming into the city from maybe the river parishes or the North Shore or Chalmette, what can they do? What can't they do?
So essentially I-10, avoid I-10. It is shut down all the way out in, from our area in La Place, which includes 55 Thruway. And that's going to be closed all throughout the area leading up the metro area. What you can do if you're on the river parishes or on the West Bank, you can get to both the Hale Boggs or the GNO bridge at the very last point. So River Road on either side in St. Charles or on the GNO right there at General De Gaulle. And then you can get over into the city and get off at Chavatula. So it's going to be the bridges are open. However, everything else is shut down. I just got an update not that long ago that 90B is actually going to be closed.
That's the elevated West Bank Expressway? Or is that?
Yes, sir.
And the Pontchartrain Expressway on the East Bank.
Yes, yes. But you can get over over the GNO from either get on or off at Chapultepec on in the city or get off and on at General De Gaulle.
And I should mention that's just what you as a state police are in charge of because surface streets will be controlled by NOPD, accurate?
Correct. That is correct.
Yeah, and so far we're not seeing any closure of surface streets. So, you know, and Trooper, while we're telling people you can get there, you can take airline in from the points west. You can take the Crescent City Connection or the Hale Boggs across the river, and the causeway is still open one lane in each direction from the North Shore to the South Shore. While you can do that, you're not advising people to do that.
Exactly. I was hoping that was coming next.
It is.
We are urging everyone to stay home. It's just not safe. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay, Troop. I was going to say, I think people are, because I didn't see anybody on the road besides me coming to work this morning. That was before any precipitation started. And keep in mind what the trooper is telling you is, as of right now, and it depends on conditions that could change, and you don't want to find yourself stuck anywhere. So you should be where you want to be by now, would be a good way to put
right.
it. And if not, for emergencies, they're going to keep the bridges open. And what's the site people can go to, Trooper, to find out what's open, what's closed?
It's the 511 communication. So you dial 511, use the 511 Louisiana mobile phone app, or 511LA.org. And that's real-time updates from DOTD.
And when you say open, or rather closed, that's until further notice, right? Until the conditions allow for it to be open?
Yes. And as we've seen, it's moving across the state. So soon enough, I'm sure I haven't had any reports in our area of ice on the roads, but from experience, it's coming. And so that's why we went ahead with DOTD, and they made that recommendation. We've got troopers and personnel on certain spots blocking the access to and from ice.
Any final thoughts for us?
Again, please stay safe. Don't come out unless you have to, if there's an emergency. And if you do have to be on the roads, please watch your speed, wear your seatbelt, don't brake too hard, and just, if you can, stay home.
Yeah, amen. Stay home, play in the snow, have a good time. Thank you, Trooper Jacob Pichot. He's a public information officer for State Police Troop B617. We'll take a quick break, maybe an early look at traffic, then we'll come back, talk to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, because in case you didn't notice with all this snow stuff going on, a new president was inaugurated yesterday. Traffic now, WWL. All right, snow already on the North Shore, Baton Rouge, heading this way. And my iPhone shows me that it's snowing in Baton Rouge right now, at least in Belchase right now. I'm not there, so I wouldn't know. It is 29 degrees. There is a 70% chance for snow all the way through, let's say, maybe 4 o'clock today, and then it decreases at 5 o'clock. Andy Smith joins us now, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. It's cold, and Andy and I have known each other for decades, and we've always talked about presidential elections and so forth. We always talk about the weather as well. Andy Smith, it might be colder there, but I'll tell you what, and I didn't think I'd ever say this, you're not getting the snow we're getting today.
That's an unfortunate thing for the skiers up here, but good luck with that. Stay at home. You guys don't have the resources to be able to deal with the snow, so stay off the roads if
you can. Well, we're going to be skiing down, doing some slaloming down the Mississippi River levees here is what we're going to be doing.
So get the sleds out.
Let me tell you something. I was watching the inauguration yesterday. I got some texts from some friends, and one neighbor told me, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I was delivering some firewood that everybody gets all caught up and all spun up in this, and they remember that when President Obama was elected, he sat down at the desk and started signing executive orders, and he said, and this is an older man, he said he thought the country was finished, that was it, that a new regime was taken over, democracy was dead. And I'm not comparing Obama to Trump, but I think whenever there is a change in the White House, the people whose person didn't win tend to think that the darkest days of the country are ahead and everybody needs to take a breath. Your thoughts on this?
I think you're exactly right, that the institutions of the United States, the way the government is structured, both at the federal level, but between the states and the federal government, and the way that the laws work, they're designed to go slow, so it's very difficult for any president to come in and rapidly change things, and especially if things were passed as laws rather than executive orders. That's the thing that we've seen a lot of focus on, is the executive orders, which kind of have the force of law, but they don't stand up after that president is out of office. And those are the things that we saw yesterday that the press is making a lot of.
You know, as far as Donald Trump, he is who he is. So I don't know if people were expecting anything different yesterday, but I don't know why they would. He's not been known to be the most polite of people and or the most deferential of people. And did anything in the inaugural address or the speeches after surprise you at all?
Not really. I thought it was a little bit over the top when he was going after the previous administrations without naming them specifically, but Joe Biden sitting right next to him during that, having to listen to all that whole litany of of perceived sins and ills that had gone on during his administration. So that was maybe a little bit unfair.
But it goes to politics where, you know, you have tea before and everything's all nice, and you sworn in, you turn around, you shake his hand, and you proceed to throw him under the bus. But that's just politics, right?
It is. Politics ain't beanbag, as they say.
No, and Donald Trump's not been known to be the most tactful person when it comes to things like that. But again, he is who he is. The country voted. Elections have consequences. So for people that are optimistic about the president, a Trump presidency, what are the keys to him having success in getting his agenda through? Is it the first 2 years?
Oh, yeah. First 2 years, I think, are really key because historically the president's party loses seats in Congress the first midterm. So you really have about a year and a half, actually, and that's about it. So he's got to get things done right away. And I think the things that he can do first that will have the greatest impact to his supporters would be things regarding immigration. I think that he's got the political support for that, both certainly on the Republican side, but a lot on the Democratic side as well, to tighten up immigration. The most important thing that he can do, though, or he can take credit for, is the improvement of the economy. And that's something that's going to be a little bit more difficult, but getting inflation down is something that the Biden administration wasn't really able to do, and it's going to be just as difficult for the Trump administration to do that as well. And that, I think, is going to be the biggest thing that's going to weigh heavy on voters coming ahead in both 26 and 28.
That was my thought as I was watching him talking about the economy, because I talked to a guy who is a pretty ardent Republican yesterday, a professor of economics and finance, and I asked him to rate the economy where it stands now, a scale of 1 to 10, everything, you know, because the economy is a complicated thing, factored in, where would you say the economy is that Biden is handing over to Trump? And he said 8 out of 10. So if that's the case, then I'm looking at, I don't know if you're not an economist, I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but then I'm looking at yesterday Trump's speech, and he's talking about bringing prices down, and I'm saying, well, hang on there, I don't know how you could do that. I guess he's got a plan, and he made a linkage toward oil prices and so forth, and there could be some connection there, but you don't want to get out over your skis on the first day, do you?
Well, you really don't, but then again, are people going to remember what he said in his inaugural address or the speeches afterwards in another 6 months? And I'd say probably not. They're kind of like campaign promises or the promises that you hear on during a president's State of the Union address. There's a lot of wistfulness that goes on in a lot of these discussions.
And the other thing I thought of when it comes to 4 years from now, if you're a Republican, you're going to think the economy, good or bad, is all the Democrats' fault. And if you're a Democrat, if the economy is good or bad, you're going to think it's all because of if it's bad, you think it's the other party. If it's good, you think it's your party, right?
We see the world in rose-colored glasses or blue glasses. So, yes, we do. That is a phenomenon that's there. We rate the world. We rate the things we see around us through those partisan lenses.
Thank you, Andy. We'll talk again soon. I got to get my sled ready for the levee, okay?
Put your gloves on.
I will. Thank you, sir. One of them. I don't know where the other one is. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. We'll talk to Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Get an update on the snow when we come back. 6:30 time now. WWL First News. All right, 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is snow day. We're tracking the winter storm, historic snow in New Orleans, presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. We'll keep you updated on all the latest. And you stay home, but please call or text us at 504-260-1870 and let us know what's going on in your neighborhood. We can share this experience together. Tweet from Peyton Malone. As we get closer, we're seeing trends of more snow, especially with heavy bands. It can't be overstated how rare this will be. Snow-packed roads will make travel impossible for a few days. Keep in mind, Peyton Malone is the master of understatement. So coming from him, this gets my attention. Also, winds will be gusts, so it wouldn't be shocking to see snowdrifts that are feet tall, have plenty of food, water, blankets, ride out the snowstorm 2025. Winter storms ramps tonight with heaviest snow during the... Oh, that was from last night, with heaviest snow during the day-to-day. Colonel Jacques Thibodeau joins us now, director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP, to give us an update. Good morning, Colonel. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going today?
It's okay. I got a kid that lives in Ruston, and I received some video of a line of snowplows that were headed south. You guys are on top of this, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We started working it roughly 9 days before the event and then really ramped it up on Saturday once the National Weather Service began to give us the updates, as well as Jay Grimes, our own state climatologist. So we're well prepared for what we're going to face.
Tell me what you are expecting and then take us throughout the state.
Well, first off, the it came in earlier than we thought it did. We thought that it would hit around 5 a.m. and really at 3 a.m. this morning, the snow really started rolling in Lake Charles. And now the snow is all the way from Lake Charles to Baton Rouge. And for the first time in the history, Lake Charles has a blizzard warning, and it's due to 35-mile-an-hour winds that they're having there. So it is moving across the state quicker than we expected, and it triggered the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development and Louisiana State Police to begin closing interstates and bridges across the Mississippi River. So you're starting to see all those elevated portions of the interstate and then interstates itself begin to close.
For people that are thinking about going somewhere, your words would be what? I guess don't?
Oh, absolutely. You hit it on the head right at the beginning of the segment where you just stay at home because the biggest risk to life or getting yourself hurt is to get out on the roads. And if you have a question as to how it looks, we have a website called virtual.la.gov, virtual.la.gov. And it talks about all the road closures, talks about the winter advisories, the warming centers. But this is a significant event. This snow that we will see and the freezing temperatures will be in excess of 40 hours. So please take this seriously. Just stay home. And as the governor said, get a pot of gumbo and ride this thing out for the next 2 days.
Talk about the, if you will, Colonel. We're talking to Jacques Thibodeau, the director of the governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, about some equipment. Was that accurate with the video I saw of snowplows coming from the northern part of the state? Because while this is new to southern Louisiana, you guys deal with this with the state in northern Louisiana from time to time, don't you?
Yes. So what we use is what's called the Emergency Assistant Compact, which is called EMAC is the acronym. And we requested these snow vehicles from the state of Arkansas. So Governor Huckabee Sanders and Governor Landry had worked out a EMAC agreement, and that we have received 46 snow vehicles, either snow plows or brine trucks or salt trucks, along with the personnel that have the expertise to do that, to help us clear all the roads. It's pretty interesting to see. And I told my counterpart in Arkansas, I said, hey, look, we've never seen these before, so we'd like to keep them through Mardi Gras and use a couple of them in our parades.
That would be a pretty neat thing. Actually, are they going to let you do that or not?
No, he won't let us do it.
That would be awesome.
At a minimum, I asked. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the video I saw, it's like some kind of tractor-looking thing with what looks like a front-end loader or some orange scraper on the front that I guess is to move snow off, right? And you're anticipating using these things where? Where have they been deployed, Colonel?
Okay, so they can move 12 inches of snow at a time off a road. These crews are very experienced. We anticipate that we will use these on the state roads all the way from Lake Charles through Baton Rouge and into New Orleans and then on the North Shore. So when they initially came in and staged at Krotz Springs, and now they are displaced all the way across the state with our Department of Transportation assets, and they are actually working. They started working last night. They are salting and brining the roads, and they are clearing the roads. So it is impressive to see these trucks actually on the road clearing snow in Louisiana. I've never seen it before in my life in Louisiana, and it's impressive to see these vehicles work.
What is the biggest concern that you have right now?
Well, the biggest concern, again, as we talk about, if everyone can just stay off the roads, obviously, our main priority in a weather event like this is to save lives. So our biggest concern is just tell everyone, just stay off the roads. And then the concern that we have is the amount of time that the cold weather will be here. We will be below freezing temperatures in some areas as much as 40 hours, getting 2 to 5 inches of snow. And in some pockets, you may get 8 inches of snow. Now, that's bad, okay? But the good news of that is it's snow and it's not sleet. Sleet turns to ice. Ice gets on the trees fall on the power lines, and then we have major problems. So right now, our internal viewpoints look like this will remain as snow, and we're hoping, based on the fact that it moves so fast, that we will get some sunlight today about 3 or 4 o'clock, or at least get it clear to where we can get DOTD to catch up from 3 o'clock this morning all the way to this afternoon.
When it comes to, and I'm just trying to drill down on this a little bit, Colonel, I'm going to let you know because I let you go because I know you're busy, but I'm trying to drill down a little bit on precipitation, the different types, and the black ice on the roadway and what leads to what combined with the temperature. So you're saying that the snow is better than the other types of precipitation as it relates to black ice, or am I conflating that?
No, you're right. The snow is better. Okay, so if you think about Louisiana, we have large bodies of water everywhere, and we have tremendous amounts of condensation on the ground. So what you're seeing here now is the precipitation is actually coming from the Gulf. That's why it's only from the central Louisiana area south. It's coming off of the Gulf, so you have condensation that's on the ground, and you have precipitation that's in the air, and what you're seeing here is the precipitation, the cold nature of where we are, is it's snow. And it doesn't give the – it's going to remain cold for so long that it doesn't give the snow a chance to melt and turn into black ice. The biggest – one of the biggest recommendations we receive from Arkansas is to allow your commercial 18-wheeler traffic to continue to run on your interstates, because that will clear the roads itself. Those large 18-wheelers will clear the roads. So when we're talking about precipitation, the snow is what we're faced with, and it's just going to be so cold that it won't melt, and that actually works in our favor. It just everywhere off of the roads, you're going to have anywhere from 5 to 8 to 12 inches of snow that will accumulate, and that's the problem. So you hit the nail on the head. Precipitation and snow is better than sleet and ice.
And what are we anticipating as it stands now, to be clear?
Well, for the listeners that are out there, that are all the Baton Rouge and North Shore and Bayou River parishes in New Orleans metro area, you're going to look at, it's going to be anywhere from 2 to 5 inches of snow, and you're looking at possibly in some of the pockets you will see 8 inches of snow, and then what you're going to have it for is about 40 hours. Right now, we're in the 20s. And the wind chill feels like in the teens, but it's going to get colder, and it will be, in some places, it will be in single digits. So that is why we're just preaching to everyone, just stay at home. Please don't put the first responders at jeopardy where they have to come get you out because you're out and about. If you have to work, you have to slow down 20 miles an hour and stay to the surface streets. Do not get on any of the elevated roads.
Thank you, Colonel. We'll talk to you again soon. I know you're busy. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP. Very valuable information. There's some interesting insights. 6:55, 5 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 7:15, Tommy Tucker. As a matter of fact, I got a text from Craig that comes in, says he's in Nashville for the Generac conference, but the team at Craig's Electrical and Generator Service is on standby, listening to all of you on the Odyssey app. Keep up the great work. Be safe. Courtney P has her work cut out for today. Stay safe and warm. I'll be on Newell's show today around 12:10. That's Craig from Craig's Electrical and Generator. Colin Arnold joins us now, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the city of New Orleans. How you doing, Colin?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Hey, they weren't kidding, were they?
Hey, we're not. It looks like it's, you know, we're getting, obviously, just from seeing it and then hearing from National Weather Service, it is starting to accumulate on the South Shore. You know, we've seen a lot of images from the North Shore this morning. It's already, you know, Hammond and other areas starting to actually substantially accumulate. What you're seeing outside now, we can expect until probably about 6 p.m. So it's the real deal. I'll say that roads are closing and have closed around the area. You know, we've worked with DOTD and the state police. So they started closing interstates in different areas at about 4 a.m. They are going to try and keep the Crescent City Connection open as long as possible, but expect to be put off at Chapultepec so you can get back down on surface streets. They're going to do that as long as possible, and I'd be honest with you, I don't know how long that can really be. What they will do is continue to have one lane in each direction after that for emergency vehicles, just for hospital access and the like. Causeway is closed, and you know, I can just expect that you know, as we move further into this, it's just started, so pretty much throughout the day it's going to, you know, eventually going to overtake some of these roadways, and that's why we really want people to just stay home today and kind of to the best of your ability enjoy this anomaly, you know, that we're having today. It's something we don't see very often.
Tell me about expectations and what was thought to happen yesterday and what you're expecting to happen today. Any change?
Not significantly. I think it came in a little later than we thought that it was going to start. But look, it's just the beginning. So, like I said, we're adjusting as well. We've got the crews ready to go with salt and sand. They've been out this morning, you know, particularly with salt, trying to get ready. Sand will be for traction later on. You know, as we continue through this, we've had quite a few people at the warming center. Rosenwald Rec Center. That is still open and will remain open throughout this. We may open another facility today, and if we do, we'll announce that very widely. But right now the numbers are pretty stable from what we're seeing, and we're going to continue to monitor this. We've got people looking into all the city facilities and the like, and we're pretty much kind of in a pattern right now of just observing and responding as needed.
Lake Charles is under a blizzard warning. Has the National Weather Service given you any indication that will have anything like that here?
I have not seen anything from them yet indicating that. Clearly that, you know, we're getting everything. We're starting to get everything that they've probably been getting for a couple of hours. So I would say if this continues on as it's supposed to until 6 p.m., that's certainly not out of the question.
Do you have a couple of more minutes, Colin? I want to put you on hold, check the traffic real quick, and then we'll come back and talk about water pressure and those kind of things, okay?
Will do.
All right, Colin Arnold, director of Homeland Security Emergency Preparedness for the city of New Orleans. It's snowing. Y'all don't try to drive anywhere because you're probably not going to be able to get there from here. So just stay where you are and get out and enjoy it if you can. 720 traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's snow day. We are tracking the winter storm on WWL, Louisiana's official emergency management station. We are here for the duration to help you through it all and to share this once-in-a-lifetime experience. It is a shared experience, so give us a call or text, 504-260-1870. Let me see what you're doing, and let me hear or tell us what's going on in your neighborhood, because we can't see it, but you can share it with us. And when y'all get out there and start playing with the kids, I'd love to take some calls from y'all and hear it. Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, is with us for the city of New Orleans. Colin, let's talk about water pressure, running pipes, boil water advisories, et cetera, sewage and water board, main lines freezing, concerns, all that stuff. That's a big Bobby Hebert question. Jump in where you feel comfortable.
Well, I was going to tell you, Dr. Anon fixed me up, too, so really great. Yeah, around the same time as you, I think, too,
awesome.
From what you said.
So, that's great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I'm not hearing anything negative from Sewage and Water Board right now. We've got them up here in the Emergency Operations Center. I'm checking in with them every couple hours just to see if there's anything going on. And right now I think it's pretty stable. They had an issue yesterday, and they were able to rectify that with one of the city's water pumps. We don't have any information about any types of major lines freezing. You know, the underground one should be okay with this. Obviously, our concern is when the Weather Service talks about being, you know, under freeze conditions for more than 48 to 60 hours, you know, that the longer you're under that, the more bad things or potentially, you know, negative effects can happen. But we're going to continue to monitor that. What I would say is we're still under 32 degrees right now, so running that slight trickle of water that we talked about yesterday from one faucet is still something that you should be doing. But please conserve water to your greatest extent possible during the morning hours, so that they can rebuild the pressure in the system throughout the day. And you know, obviously, we're expecting freezing conditions for quite a while, probably through the rest of the day and even into overnight tonight. So it's definitely something that we're monitoring.
Having been here all my life, lived through this, I remember a Christmas morning. Oh, it just had to be in the 80s. There was no snow or anything, but everybody woke up on Christmas morning after a hard freeze. Pipes were frozen, and Lord knows, I don't know what's worse, Colin, trying to get plywood before a storm or pipes after a freeze. How concerned are you that after the next couple of days, you got a lot of leaky pipes in houses, and that affects the water pressure, and then you got boil water advisories, fighting fires, et cetera?
I mean, we're concerned, and every time we have freeze activity, let alone something like this, which I would say is going to end up being probably historic, you know, we will have situations where people's pipes on their residence are going to burst. I think at this point, the best thing you can do is when that starts to happen, unfortunately, you need to turn off your water. If you can turn it off at the house, at the meter, that's going to minimize the amount of damage that's going to occur, and then also, you know, not cause that water to continue to try and run. And it'll be pretty evident if you step outside. One thing I'll suggest is if you haven't been able to wrap pipes, most of the hardware stores run out of the foam pipe wrap. What we, you know, just a tip, what we have seen that has worked in the past is if you go pool noodles that you find at Academy and other places like that are the same thing, and they typically don't run out of those because people don't really think of it. But that's something you can wrap your pipe with very quickly if you need to. But at this point, anything you can do, if you can wrap towels, you know, blankets, even sheets with some duct tape around your pipes, anything exposed outside right now, just to, you know, potentially try and minimize any damage that might occur.
Thank you, Colin. You're not hearing of any power outages, are you?
No, nothing significant right now.
Right,
and that's
you.
One thing. The winds have been a little bit less than what has been predicted so far, but we'll see throughout the day.
And as far as heading out on the highway, surface streets, you never can tell when those are going to close. So you might be able to get here now. You might not be able to get back. And I don't think a lot is open anyway, is it?
No, not a lot is open, and I think people should just stay home.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Stay
Thank
warm.
You.
Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. We come back, we'll talk to Scott Boyle, our friend, District Engineer Administrator for Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. I'm Tommy Tucker with Team WWL, here for you when it matters most. We'll be right back. More coverage of the winter storm, historic snow in New Orleans right now, a news update on WWLAMFM.com and that Odyssey app. 7:45, quarter till 8. Give me a text at 504-260-1870. Let me know where you are, what you're seeing, what kind of snow you got, and what y'all are doing. And we'll also take some calls when we get time at 504-260-1870, because this is a kind of unique experience. We want to share it together. We do want to be safe as well, though. Scott Boyle, District Engineer, Administrator of Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development, joins us now. Scott, before we get to you, let me just remind people that the causeway is closed. They fought the good fight, but it's over, and it's going to be closed for at least 24 hours, so be aware of that. That's not a state highway, but I just wanted to get out there. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tommy. Trying to stay warm. How you doing?
Doing the same. I was just outside. It's fun, but it's not fun if you're trying to keep the highways open or if you're a state official, because especially if you're the District Engineer Administrator for Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. Let's talk, Scott, if we can. First of all, I got a kid lives in North Louisiana, and I got some video of snowplows headed this way. I was talking to Jacques Thibodeau about that before. You guys really did plan for this, didn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. We partnered with Arkansas, and they came down, and they've been working and helping us out at this time. They're primarily focusing in the Lake Charles area, the Lafayette area, La Place and the Hammond area. They haven't come down here, but they certainly are on the roads and assisting us with trying to keep these priority routes open at this time.
When it comes to the bridges, like, and yesterday I asked you about the Crescent City connection, you told me 10 out of 10, and I presume nothing's changed, but people need to realize you're keeping, like, as I understand it, one lane open and on-ramps open from state highways, and that's for emergency vehicles only, that you're not encouraging people to go out and drive across the river.
No, absolutely not, Tommy. We're keeping those bridges open right now strictly for emergency services, for police, fire, ambulance, so they can get from one side of the river, so nobody that needs help is cut off because of that. So we've been focusing on that. I will tell you, Tommy, I did give you a 10 out of 10. We're creeping towards a 9 and 8.5 right now.
That's all right. You know, sometimes stuff changes. What did change, Scott, as far as that goes with keeping those open?
Just the sheer force of what's descended upon us. You know, there's only so much we can do. We started closing the interstates down at 4 o'clock this morning. We had a conference call last night with state police and NOPD. And we made the decision to close everything down preemptively before we got to this point. We did not want to be in a situation where we start seeing people running off the road and pileups and those type of things. So we made the right decision to preemptively start closing things down. So we got Interstate 10 closed down. We got I-310 closed down. We got I-510 closed down. So basically what we're down to are these secondary routes like Airline, U.S. 90, Chef Highway, Broad, these type of connective arterials that can, people, emergency services can get from one place to another. Certainly we're not encouraging anybody to be on the roads right now unless they absolutely have to.
I don't know of anything that's open, Scott, so I don't really know where people would be going or what they would be doing. As it relates to the salting and the brining and so forth and the precipitation, I was talking to Jacques Thibodeau earlier about the difference between snow and sleet and freezing rain, I guess it was. As far as black ice, what is your concern and what should people know?
Well, certainly, you know, anytime you encounter black ice, you can have a problem. I'm even going on a 35-mile-an-hour road, but particularly we're concerned about this on an interstate or control of access type facility where somebody's going 70, 80 miles an hour on the interstate and they hit a patch of that, and the margin for errors are so severe that it could cause devastating outcomes. So certainly those type of things, and that has a lot to do with why we did what we did to preemptively close this interstate down. It's just not worth it. You know, we got connectivity. People that need to get around can still get around, and you know, we're doing our best. You know, I wanted to tell you for the I-310 bridge and even for the Crescent City connection, we're getting people at Crescent City Connection, we let them get on. And again, I got to preempt this, people, emergency services, police, we're letting them get on at General De Gaulle. They got to get off at Chapatula. So this is not free reign just because these Mississippi River bridge crossings are open. At Hale Boggs on 310, you go from River Road to River Road. That's all you get to keep that connectivity alive.
And is that for emergency vehicles only, or is it restricted access?
It is not at this time. It is for, but it's not like there's someone there that's saying you can't get on the bridge if you're not a police or a fire or ambulance. So it's not like that. But typically in name, it is for individuals that have to be out there that are responding to things, that are monitoring things, that are assisting people. So that's the general idea of where we are with that.
Would it be accurate to say yet it's not restricted yet?
We typically don't, the only time I've ever really seen that type of thing is, you know, when we have, you know, at the a hurricane and the police are diverting people and they're only letting certain people come in, people that are assisting us from other states and law enforcement and fire, stuff like that. So this won't be a situation where we're going to restrict it to where, you know, only you can go over the bridge. It's going to stay open for whoever's on there.
Again,
at this time.
9 out of 10 as opposed to 10 out of 10. That depends on the conditions. So what, before I let you go, Scott, because I know you're busy. I know they've had a lot of snow in Lafayette. I know you got the snow plows coming from Arkansas and so forth that I mentioned earlier. What would be your biggest concern for the New Orleans area, North Shore, et cetera, right now?
We're at the mercy of the weather, Tommy. You know, we've done all we can do. There's only so much salt, and there's only so much we can do. You know, this isn't just going to go away, you know, in 5 minutes. This is what it's going to be for a little while. I was looking at the forecast, and we were looking at, you know, not even coming out of freezing until, like, tomorrow at 10 a.m. So, you know, this is just something that we're going to have to be patient with. And be diligent, and it is going to pass like everything else is, but it's going to be something. People are going to, you know, they're going to want to get out and run errands or go see this, and it's just not a good thing to do at this time.
If you're going to get out in your yard, play with the kids, play with the snow, do that, walk around your neighborhood, but don't go driving. Thank you, Scott. Any final thoughts?
No, I just want to say I'm very proud of our team. They worked throughout the night. They worked very hard. These are not conditions that are very comfortable. You know, the wind chill in the teens, and it's very difficult to go out there. There's a big human element to making all this happen. So our team, state police, NOPD, for getting that interstate closed and help to save lives and keep people safe.
Seems like y'all are on top of it. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you again if we need to, all right?
All right, Tommy, be safe and stay warm, okay?
You too, sir. You too. Scott Boyle, District Engineer Administrator, Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. It was a 10 out of 10 yesterday, 9 out of 10 a day on keeping the bridges open. But again, if you don't have to go anywhere, it's crazy to even attempt it because the ice is forming on the sidewalk. I noticed as I was walking outside, a lot of traffic closures. And that's just the state highways. Courtney now here with a traffic update on WWL. Tell us about the street closures, everything else.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Specifically, Tommy Tucker. You ain't seen nothing yet, because although I am seeing some flakes fly by the window and snow accumulate on Poydras Street and in the Central Business District, the big chance for snow happens between 11 and 6 o'clock. Matt Jewell joins us now, president of St. Charles Parish. Give us an update from St. Charles. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm okay. Tell me what's going on in St. Charles Parish. What kind of snow are y'all seeing?
You know, I don't know what a blizzard is, but I would call this one, just being from Southeast Louisiana, since we're not used to it. But snow is definitely falling here in Luling, where I'm at, and we are seeing some of those larger, puffier flakes falling right now. This morning around 6 to 7, it was definitely a sleet ice mixture. And it's definitely transitioned for us, and you can see the accumulations building.
I was going to ask you about that. Is there a camera where people can access to see what's going on in St. Charles Parish or not?
You know what? That's a good question.
I don't think they have it. Have you people work on it, and if they can get you an answer, we'll find out. Because I was wondering,
we'll work on that.
All right. I was wondering if we were going to see the big flakes like we saw in Christmas of 2005, because I'm not seeing that here in the CBD. But again, we're just on the cusp of this. Tell me what preparations you guys did in St. Charles Parish to get ready for this.
Yeah, so obviously we've been preparing now for, you know, probably about a week, where we started getting our directors working towards winterizing buildings and making sure that all of our pump stations and everything were able to go through these, you know, just severe cold weathers, the severe cold temperatures. And, you know, mainly setting up our warming shelter, and then messaging to our residents that they need to stay off the roads if at all possible, just because, A, we're not used to driving in these types of conditions, and B, the conditions are deteriorating quickly.
I was down on Magazine Street earlier, and it just struck me how, I've been here before for hurricane coverage and talking to you about hurricanes before, and the wind is blowing at about the same rate, not at hurricane strength or anything, but as before a storm, because the winds are blowing pretty good and the precipitation's flying, but it's a night and day difference as far as the type of precipitation and the temperature. When it comes to preparations, did any of this mirror what you would do for a hurricane, Matt?
A lot of the meetings that we have for our EOC, the rhythm that we have these meetings and our cadence, communicating with the public and the directors is a lot like a hurricane, and it's pretty much what you would do in any emergency is make sure that your internal employees, your directors are doing, what they need to get their departments ready, to make sure that you're messaging the important things to the community to make sure that they're preparing accordingly. So there are a lot of similarities in these types of emergencies. But obviously, this is this one's a new one for me. We've gone through the pandemic, Hurricane Ida, floods, everything else, and now we get to add a snowstorm to the list.
Let me take a quick break. We come back, we'll talk about water and freezing and water pressure and all that stuff. Matt Jewell, president of St. Charles Parish, our guest. I want to hear from y'all again at 504-260-1870. If you can give me a report from where you are, what kind of snow you're seeing, what kind of stuff you're doing, because it's a shared experience and doesn't happen often here. Snow day in New Orleans. 820 traffic now, WWL. 824 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Historic snowfall in southeastern Louisiana. Lafayette had a blizzard warning earlier. Matt Jewell is our guest, president of St. Charles Parish, said he's never seen a blizzard, but from what you're seeing in St. Charles Parish, it sure looks like it, huh, Matt?
I'm going to go ahead and call it a blizzard. It might not be the technical definition, but it's a blizzard for southeast Louisiana for sure.
Well, you're parish president. You can do whatever the hell you want. No, I'm just kidding. Matt, when it comes to Colin Arnold, director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for New Orleans, was on with us, and he was asking people to avoid, as of now, using large appliances like dishwashers, washing machines, if people can. Keep in mind, that's not the dryer. If your kids go out and play, it's gas. It's different than water. You can use a dryer to dry the clothes. Maybe you don't have to wash them. But when it comes to water pressure, people trickling the faucets, sometimes one person's trickle becomes a run. Before you know it, the water pressure is low. That can lead to all kinds of problems. Address all of that, if you can, please.
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with New Orleans's, distribution system for their water plant. So all I can tell you is that, checking in on...
I was just mentioning that as a refresher for Orleans Parish. I certainly didn't mean to draw you into Orleans Parish.
No, absolutely. But I can tell you that our water system is performing just fine at the moment, and pressure and levels remain good. Obviously, if you are up and about today and you're using your water and you're doing normal activities, there's a very low chance that your pipes are going to freeze because you're keeping water moving through your pipes. If everybody in St. Charles Parish decided to run their water, then we could potentially see some issues. So we don't necessarily tell people to run their water. I know I usually tell people that if your home is elevated and off the ground, wind can get under it. Those are the homes that we see just from experience that have more of a chance of the pipes freezing over. But most of our homes that are slab on grade, properly insulated, and if you do all of the preparations that you should have done to your outside spigots, you should be just fine without running your water. But obviously we tell people to do what they feel is best for their home. But right now, water and wastewater operations are just fine.
That is a good point you make, Matt, and I'm not trying to speak for Orleans Parish either, but by using, at least for St. Charles Parish, the washing machine and the regular daily activities, that keeps the water flowing through the system and actually decreases the chances of anything freezing.
Yeah, when that water starts sitting still in your pipes, that's when the water has a chance and the pipes have a chance of freezing. But if you're up and doing your normal activities, you're washing, washing dishes or taking a shower, washing your hands, that keeps water moving throughout the system and reduces any potential for freezing.
Any final thoughts, Matt?
You know, I just want to tell people again to stay safe, stay off the roads if at all possible. Tonight is going to be a very cold night. The snow is going to exacerbate the temperatures and really drive those temperatures down into the teens. We really want residents to make sure that they are practicing fire safety when they're at home. If you're running a space heater, don't have it plugged into an extension cord or just have it plugged straight into the wall. Don't overload circuits. Don't leave them on in rooms unattended. When you get into these cold weather events like this, this is when we see fires in St. Charles Parish. And really, I think statistically across the nation is when we get into these cold weather events. So we just want residents to be really aware. If they haven't cleaned their chimney in many years and they want to fire it up, might be best that they don't do that because it could be soot or dust inside of that chimney that could ignite, cause a different issue. You know, the road conditions are bad. We don't know if fire and EMS are going to be able to get to you if it gets much worse. So we just ask people to just be really safe. Don't create any hazards.
Yeah, if you haven't done it in a while or it would seem outside of your normal routine, think twice before you do it. Thank you, Matt Jewell, president of St. Charles Parish. Stay warm. Enjoy the blizzard. I hope you get out and get to play in it a little bit. Mark from Denham Springs. Hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Mark. Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
I'm okay, sir. What you got going on over there? Mark, what you got going on over there?
I've got about 2 inches underground out here in Denham Springs, and, man, it's coming down hard. Big, white, wet flakes, man. Perfect for playing outside in the snow.
Kind of like Christmas Day back in 2004, that kind of snow?
Yeah, probably a little bit more than that, Tommy. I mean, it's starting to pile up here in some areas. So the roads are starting to freeze over, man. Everybody stay inside if you can because tonight it's going to be brutal out.
Amen. And play with the kids. Do have some fun at home. Thank you,
Matt.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the call from Denham Springs. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. Coverage of the big storm, big snowfall continues here on WWL. Couple of texts come in. Tip: when the snow stops, brush or sweep off cars and sidewalks. You want to clear before it melts and freezes. Removing ice or heavy snow, a lot more work. If you have to shovel snow, push along ground to edge, set feet, then lift. Your back will thank you. Somebody else texted and said, nasty, yes, dangerous to drive in maybe, but in Buffalo, this is barely a storm. I know it's severe and record-breaking for here, but it's laughable to use the word blizzard in any way. If you know anything about real blizzards, it would be like Buffalonians calling a heavy rain with a 30-mile-per-hour wind a hurricane. No comparison whatsoever with the difficulties, property damage, and threat to life. When did everything become a competition? When did that happen? Lauren Nash joins us now with the National Weather Service. How are you, Lauren?
Hey, good. Those are some pretty intense comments.
Yeah, I'm telling you, huh? Everybody can just relax. Can we just kind of enjoy something? Can we just enjoy anything? It rarely snows here. Hopefully everybody's where they are. Everything's shut down. Just get out with the kids and enjoy it. But, you know, I remember Christmas Day of 2004. My kid was 8 at the time. We had a blast. Now the kid's 28, living out of town. So when you got time, enjoy life for what it is, right? I know, Lauren, you didn't come on to talk about that, but since those texts, right?
I know. I mean, I also grew up in the north and have been up in New York, so I've seen, you know, all that weather. But it's different down here. We're built different. Things are different. We don't have the tools that they have up there.
Yeah, so just relax. Everybody take a break. Let's talk about in terms of what we've seen and what's to come, Lauren.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're getting some reports starting to trickle in right now, but we do need your snow reports, whether that's tweeting at us or putting on social media, any other way, get it to your news media. They can get it to us. So we're seeing about 1 to 2 inches. We've got some reports from St. Charles, Livingston, Baton Rouge, St. Tammany. We're watching the news for New Orleans. Haven't seen any official reports, but it looks like maybe, you know, a quarter of an inch right now is maybe sticking. So it's definitely coming down area wide. We're seeing snow sticking. We're seeing, you know, roads closed as I've been hearing. And we've probably got quite a few more to go. We're looking, you know, maybe 4 to 6 inches for the New Orleans metro, a little bit heavier out to the west. Obviously, isolated higher amounts are possible, but we're just going to keep going the next couple hours and keep accumulating the snow.
So let's talk about time frame on all of this, and then after it happens with the freezing temperatures tonight and so forth, what actually happens? You're from New York, you know. Tell me what goes on here.
Yeah, I mean, the snow's going to end by this evening, so that's a good or bad news, whichever way you want to look at it, but it is not going to warm up at all. So anything that's on the roads, because we don't have the same, you know, treatment that we have up in the north areas, like some of these other people we're talking about on Texas that are used to, we're not going to have much relief on the road, so we're going to just freeze right over. We have low temperatures tonight in the lower 20s, which is cold enough for our area, and that snow making it even colder. So nothing's going to melt today or tonight, or probably even tomorrow. Highs tomorrow may just get into the mid-30s, so very little melting, and then potentially even refreezing again Wednesday night. So the roads are not going to be great for a couple days down here.
Did you live in New York City for a while?
I lived on Long Island for a few years, but I'm originally from Missouri, so still used to it.
Any snowman making tips for us, Lauren?
Oh, no. I mean, you know, just get them nice and tight. Depends on how wet or dry. You could also probably spray some water on it, you know, when you make the snowman, spray some water, kind of keeps the snow together.
All right,
there you go, there's a tip.
And they'd be able to play in the snow tomorrow as well, you're saying, probably?
Probably. I don't see any sort of melting going on today. It just depends on how much we get today, but there should be plenty of snow on the ground tomorrow.
Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate your time. You can follow Lauren Nash on Twitter, at LaurenN1319. And we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Leslie Harris about the city and homelessness and so forth in a cold weather. Tommy Tucker, the snowfall, Flurricane, I think is what Dan Barron, the GM here, told me like best. The Flurricane 2025 continues our coverage here on WWL. Boy, our next guest focuses practice primarily on intellectual property, sports, entertainment, law, emerging companies. Partner at Stone Pigman, Walther Whitman in New Orleans received her LLM in trade regulation, concentration in intellectual property from NYU School of Law, JD cum laude from Tulane University School of Law, BA University of Virginia, licensed to practice law in Louisiana and New York, and yet she can't keep her dogs from eating the sofa cushions. Good morning.
That's very true.
Good morning, Councilmember Leslie Harris. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
How are those puppies?
We're waiting to see how they react to the snow. So we're going to let them out again once it accumulates a little more. But I would encourage everyone to keep their pets inside unless you just want to get a cute snow.
I would encourage you to put those dogs out until they agree not to eat the sofa cushions and then let them back in. But that's just me. Tell me concerns about the homeless in New Orleans and the shelter that the governor set up and the cold weather, et cetera.
Sure. Well, right now we know that the Rosenwald Center and some of the city centers are open for warming. So I want to encourage people to go there because we are getting reports that people are independently going out to the transition center and not able to get in. And so I would encourage people not to take that route. If they need to be warmed, go to Rosenwald Center. I know that there are some beds open at the Low Barrier Shelter, at the Mission, at the Salvation Army. And, of course, if you're younger, Covenant House will have some openings as well. But I would not tell people to go out to the transition center because, again, we're hearing reports that people are being turned away at the door.
Because they're full, or do you know, Leslie? Because that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. We don't know. We will have a call at 10 o'clock with the city. At that point in time, I will pose the question of why people are being turned away. I'm not sure if they're full. I'm not sure why people are being turned away, but we'll see.
So as far as you're hearing, homeless people that are looking for shelter voluntarily showed up at the transitional housing that the governor set up on France Road. I just want to make sure I'm stating this accurately. And they were turned away. And you've got numerous reports of that?
I've gotten at least three people who have been turned away from that site. Two people who walked there and were not able to get in and had to be transported back to the Rosenwald Center Warming Center. We've also heard reports of people who have shown up at Rosenwald, asked to go to the transition center that the governor set up, and were told that they could not come out.
And you don't know if that's because of capacity or what the situation is?
I have no idea. It's been really a black box of information. So we are trying our best to get additional information about conditions at the transition shelter, including what the heating situation is, what the blanket situation is, but I don't know why people are being turned away.
So have you reached out to GOSEP or not? We had Jacques Thibodeau on earlier. I would have asked him had I known, because he was part of standing that up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we will ask that question at the 10 o'clock call today with the city.
So in the meantime, the warming center is set up on, where is it, Rosenwald?
Rosenwald Center at 1120 Broad Street. And I would anticipate that additional NORD facilities will be open throughout the day for people to become warm if they are experiencing cold.
Tell me your biggest concern as a council member right now with this. While it is a lovely event and can be fun to get out and enjoy, what is your concern? Older people, people that don't have adequate heating, burning their house down? Talk to me.
Yeah, all of those things. I mean, I think we worry anytime that there's a storm like this, that especially in New Orleans where we're not used to snow, that people will get out on the roads. We just heard from the previous guest that freezing can occur in these cold conditions. I would encourage people to stay off of the roads. But I think everything that your previous guest said about making sure that the space heaters are adequately plugged into the wall, so we're not causing fire dangers. Don't warm your house with a stove. If you need to get warm, please just follow NOLA Ready, and we will release additional warming centers if you need that assistance. You can also call 311, and they can give you additional information if there's a crisis happening.
All right.
So, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, my biggest concern, of course, are people followed by pets. So we just need to make sure that our people are safe.
Please stay in touch about the transitional center. Let us know what's going on once you find out.
I will. Absolutely, Tommy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good luck with the dogs. Stay warm. Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member, 854. Taking a break for traffic now on WWL. 910 now. Newell Normand is with us just in time to talk with Danny Griffin, owner of Pipestone House Plumbing. But first, Newell, tell me about the drive-in.
Wasn't bad at all. I think people are heeding the advice of the officials, which is good. Probably from Metairie to here. I went down Metairie Road to Canal to Magazine to the office here. I didn't see 10 cars. And most of the vehicles that I saw were actually NOPD automobiles with their lights on. So I think folks are heeding the advice of officials. It was snowing hard, a lot harder than it is right now. But, you know, no problems. Didn't slide or anything. And, you know, if you keep it below 25 miles an hour, you're good.
You've not seen any big flaky things like the big giant wet flakes like we had in Christmas of 04 yet,
no,
have you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, one of the concerns I have, and as we are joined now by Danny Griffin, owner of Pipes R Us Plumbing. How you doing, Danny?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I think you know Newell Normand, don't you?
Danny, what's going on, man?
Yeah. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, Danny saved me so many times. He's now a lifeguard in my family.
I don't know. I was telling Newell beforehand, I don't know what's worse, trying to get a piece of plywood before a hurricane or a piece of galvanized pipe after a freeze, because true story, Harry's Ace Hardware in Algiers years ago, I saw a fist fight break out over like a 2-foot nipple, half-inch galvanized pipe. And Danny, you know well how desperate people can get after a freeze happens. So I guess the first thing is to prevent it, right?
Absolutely. You know, I tell everybody that preparation is key. You know, it's something that you want to make sure you get done as far as wrapping your pipes, that kind of thing, running your water, you know. But when it drops down a below 20, you know, unfortunately, not much can help.
Yeah. Danny, if you would, for the listening audience, there's three types of water heaters, right? Gas, electric, and tankless. And the preparation is a little bit different for each one, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because actually I saw something recently where they were talking about an outdoor gas tankless to wrap it. And actually that's the most dangerous thing you can do, because the vent is on the water heater itself. So if you wrap it, you're keeping all that carbon monoxide inside of it. The best thing to do is to just drip your water. But most outdoor tankless gas water heaters have a safety in them to where if it drops down to below freezing, it actually kicks on, a heater element kicks on to keep your tubes from not freezing.
Wait, I lost track. That's the hot water heater that's
the kind you have, Tommy.
The tankless water heater that's outside.
Yeah.
It's mounted outside. And that the only thing, and I'm trying to think when they installed it, I'm in the middle of something here. I'm sorry, Newell. I was half listening. Thank you, Newell, for covering my behind, as he always does. You know what happened? I got out over my skis.
You did.
And again, all appropriate and on a day outside. Like today. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
No, but anyway, seriously, Danny, so it's mounted outside. They said they put insulation on, I guess, the pipes leading from the supply into the water heater. So do I have any concerns as far as the water heater goes? It's mounted on the outside?
You know, it depends on, you know, the year that it was built or manufactured. Within, you know, 10 years or so,
it was
newer, they have the elements that will heat them up. And some of them, like I said, they go down way before they'll last or not freeze below zero because they have elements in them that heat them up. Not all of them do, but most of them do, especially the newer ones that you get today. But I still recommend running hot and cold pencil stream the furthest away from the front of your house. And you, that will help as much as anything else will help at this point.
That's what I did. By the way, Newell, do you have a tankless water heater or not?
No, I don't.
That is the best money you will ever spend. Danny, am I wrong?
No, sir. I have one on my house. And I can tell you right now, it is the best thing since sliced bread.
The only thing I can tell you is your water bills could go up a little bit because you're going to love that hot shower. You are not going to get out of it. You're just going to love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about the other types of water heaters Newell brought up, Danny.
Well, you got if you have a tank gas or an electric tank, the best thing you want to do is just keep them running, you know, keep them at a pencil stream, keep it going to where water's just flowing. That's the biggest thing that you want done. And they do have insulation around the tank heaters. So, you know, not to say that it won't burst, but for the most part, the insulation that keeps it for energy efficient will help keep it a little bit warmer and keep it a little bit more insulated.
Danny, there were some folks that were saying turn down the thermostat on a gas heater so it's not running as often. Your thoughts?
You know, a tankless water heater, you have to have so many GPMs before it'll fire up. So if it's on a pencil stream, it's not going to fire. The gas won't come on it. On your tank, you're really going to be at a minimum of running water. I mean, if you feel better, you want to turn it down, you can. But it's really not going to fire up that much because you're only running a pencil stream.
And is there any difference between electric and gas? For instance,
not really.
Let's look at it from the context of turning our water off. So we turn the main off to the house. Anything you need to do?
Okay, if you're going to turn your water off to your house, the biggest thing that you want to do if you have an electric water heater is turn the power off to it, and a gas one you want to turn down to vacation. Because if it siphons when you turn the water off, then what it could do is take the water out of the water heater, and you can what they call dry fire, electric one, and it'll burn the elements up if there's no water in it. With gas, you're talking about something that's going to be cooking with no water in it. It could just be dangerous. So if you decide you want to turn the water off and drain it down, please make sure you have power off to your electric, and please make sure you put at least your gas on vacation.
Let me read a couple of texts here if I can. We're talking to Danny Griffin, owner of Pipes R Us Plumbing. My father in Araby texted me, said he's running water on two of his outside faucets, one by main water line, other farthest away. But the other one on side has no water, kind of early for pipe to freeze. Is that an issue once we thaw?
Well, the thing is that you really don't want to run your outside spigots. You want to run something on the interior so everything will flow through. Running that on the outside is just going to cause that to freeze. If it's running on the inside, then, you know, it's going into the sink and you don't have to worry about it freezing.
All right, another text zooms in. By the way, let me open the lines here, 504-260-1870. Danny Griffin, nice enough to give us some of his time, owner of Pipes R Us Plumbing. My water heater is in the attic. Do I need to run my water during the day today if I'm at home?
If anything that's going to be well below freezing, I would sit there and say something. If it drops below 27, 26 degrees, I would always recommend running your water.
If my pipes are in my slab and my outside hose bibs are protected, do I still need to drip faucets? Tom wants to know.
I would say probably not, but it couldn't hurt. If you got a slab that's going to be insulated, the outside is insulated to the elements, you're really not going to have any problems as long as you have heat going in your home. But, again, on safety side, why not?
Somebody texts in and says, what happens if the water stops flowing? Now, that happened to me Saturday morning, but Sunday morning in Belchase, but somebody hit a fire hydrant, Danny, and I was freaking out. I thought, wait a minute, what are we talking about? Freezing, it's 50 degrees. It can't be freezing. But in this instance, I guess it could be. What's the temperature right now? 20-something? Where are we at?
27.
27. Is there a temperature, Danny, at which you guys as plumbers say, uh-oh, here we go?
20 degrees or below, it could be catastrophic.
Okay.
Once it hits 20 degrees, it's in a situation where there's not much most people can do, and you're going to wind up having some burst pipes.
Even if the heat is on in the house?
Well, no, if it's out to the elements if it's under a raised house or if it's in an attic that's not, you know, have any heat to it. Any place that doesn't have a heat source and it could get down below 20, that's where you're going to have a problem. Like I said, it's going to be in the attic because 9 times out of 10, you know, the roof line's not obviously insulated, and then you're still going to get the same weather that you, or as far as temperature inside that you would get outside. Anything exposed to the elements is where it could be a problem. But if you have a slab or if it's inside of the house and the heat's on, you really won't have a problem with that.
Somebody wants to know about opening the attic hatch to keep pipes in the attic warmer.
I would recommend just running water. I mean, I really wouldn't worry about heating your attic. But, I mean, you know, if that's something you'd like to do, that would be fine. But at the end of the day, if you just run your water and it's inside, you should be fine.
So if the water stops flowing, can you do anything at that point other than wait for it to, or should you go
looking
for it?
Wait for it to thaw out.
Okay.
That's all you're going to be able to do. I mean, you know, we tell some people that if it's just your water service going in your house and you want to take a hairdryer and try to heat it up to get the water flowing, you can try that. Just keep the hairdryer away from any water coming out. But besides that, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, I was watching a movie the other day. I forgot what the movie was, but the kid almost burned a trailer down using a torch to melt a frozen or to try to block the ice jam in a frozen pipe. That's not a good idea ever, is it?
I don't recommend anybody who's not used to using a torch by any means.
All right, somebody said if I just turn water on for 10 seconds every hour, will that do it?
It depends on how cold it gets. I mean, I think that we're supposed to be getting into the lower 20s, and you got to leave it running. It has to have flow going through it at all times, because if not, it could freeze. So I wouldn't do 10 seconds on, 10 seconds off. I would just go ahead and just leave it run as a trickle.
A lot of friends on the North Shore talk about septic tanks, if you will, and what kind of preparations those people need to do or can do with running water, filling a tank, all that stuff.
I'd be honest, I'm really not familiar with septic tanks because we're here in the city. Mm-hmm. But as far as it goes, as long as you're running water, this tank's in the ground, so it should have some kind of insulation from Mother Nature around it. But again, I'm not a professional on septic tanks, so I really wouldn't be able to tell them.
Are you making any calls today, Danny, at all, or are you guys just shut down waiting for the weather to clear?
We're shut down right now, and I'm glad you asked that question, because if the roads are iced up tomorrow also, we're going to be shut down. I mean, the biggest thing is safety. I don't want my guys on the road trying to run around and, you know, cause accidents or slip and slide for no reason. So as soon as it's safest for us to get back to the shop and get up and running, that's what we're going to be doing.
So let's talk about something I think people don't realize. Sometimes they have detached buildings with toilets, et cetera, that are not heated, and some other things maybe that people don't think of. And I know this is a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but even when it comes to draining pressure washers that are stored in garages and sheds and those kind of things, because if there's ice in there, it can crack, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another thing that a lot of people don't talk about that should be talked about, if you have a pool, you let your pool run 24/7 because it has water in it that's obviously circulating through your pumps, circulating through your heaters. And if it's freezing your water pipes, it could freeze those pipes also and cause a lot of damage. So what I recommend to everybody, especially, you know, starting this evening, is just let your pool run. And it's the same objective as you letting the water run in your house, is to keep the water flowing. And if you have a toilet that's outside of the detached garage, what we recommend doing is, you know, turning the water off to it, flushing it. If you can get all the water out of it, great. If you can't, just take a little cap of antifreeze and put it in a bowl, and that should help it.
There you go. That's a great idea. Real quick, Noel, I don't know if you have anything else, but after it's over, and I know you'll be back on to help us through this, but what do people need to know if the pipes do freeze, the thing to do after it starts to thaw in water, they find out that they have leaks?
Be patient. Be as patient as you possibly can, because this hasn't happened in quite some time as far as the temperatures. So I have a feeling that it's going to be kind of a lot out there. And what we normally do is we start answering the phone and we take a list. Mm-hmm. And then we send our guys out and they just keep on trying to tackle their list. But the biggest thing is to have patience, because we can only do so much so fast.
You guys are the heroes of the modern world, I'm telling you. I don't mean to be dramatic here, Newell, but you think everything's going well in life until you need a plumber. Then you realize, no, not so much. Hey, Danny, thank you so much. Somebody does want to call you. How do they do it?
504-866-2730.
Thank you, sir. Danny Griffin.
Thank
owner.
You, Danny.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Appreciate you. You too. Stay safe. Owner of Pipes R Us Plumbing. We're going to talk to Jacqueline Hotard, president of St. John the Baptist Parish. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, Noel Norman might even hang around with us when we come back on WWL. 927, Tommy Tucker looking out of the window here. The Regions Bank Building, 8th floor, corner of Poydras and Magazine. It looks like something out of a Charles Dickens novel. Well, as would be described in a Charles Dickens novel, because they don't usually have pictures. Anyway, Jacqueline Hotar joins us now, president of St. John the Baptist Parish. Morning, Jacqueline. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. What about you all?
I am loving this cold weather. I'm loving the snow. I wish I'm hearkening back to 04 when my kid was 8 years old and we're out throwing snowballs at each other. Now the kid's 28 and lives out of town. That's why I'm encouraging parents to stay off the road. Stay home, get out with your kids, and have some fun.
Yes, there's enough snow. I'm sitting in the living room just looking out of the window, and I've never seen anything like this. And I'm not thinking back to 04, but I'm thinking my dad, and he lives in the neighborhood. He's a hunter, so I know in his mind he's just thinking, man, I wish I were hunting right now. This is the perfect, you know, weather to have a deer come crawling out there.
Well, maybe for him, not so much for the deer.
Not so much for the deer. Well, I'm a Southern hunter's daughter.
That's
so,
Seinfeld bit. It depends on when you're watching these nature shows. If you're watching the zebra being chased by the lion, if you're rooting for the zebra, you're saying, run, run. If you're rooting for the lion, you're saying, get him, get him. But that's nature, right?
It's all about perspective.
It
that's
is.
Right.
Tell me what's going on in St. John the Baptist Parish as far as the snow and freeze and roadways and everything else.
So far, so good. I mean, I-55 is closed from I-10 to Ponchatoula, I-10 from US 51 to 190 is closed, and we expected that. Right now, Airline, I believe, is still open, but we're still asking people, please don't try and get on the road, and we especially want to make sure that our roadways that are open remain open if, you know, there is an emergency and fire, police, or EMS need to respond. We are doubled up on our fire department. We've got all of our utilities crews on standby to address leaks or any outages. Thankfully, we haven't had any of that, but we're still not through the worst of this. We had one power outage, and that's been restored. It was restored very quickly, and we've been in contact with Energy really in preparation for the event. Like any other event we prepare for, we get all of the folks in the room. And so we're just remaining prepared and ready to respond and hope that we get through this with just some stories to tell and pictures of snowmen.
What's your biggest concern right now?
My biggest concern is, you know, if we have water leaks and, you know, just busted pipes, that could lead to outages as we try and rebuild pressure in the system. But we're just going to remain hopeful that that doesn't happen, that everyone took all of those precautions. And also with the understanding that, right, we're not prepared for blizzard type weather, but hopefully that all of the precautions that were taken are successful and we don't have that. And then, of course, if there's an electricity outage, you know, that could cause some real problems in this type of weather. We do have our warming centers open. We have two residents in our East Bank Warming Center, none on the West Bank Warming Center, but they are open for individuals who just may not have adequate, you know, heating in their home and want to come and stay warm with us. So that is available.
What about the situation with businesses being open or closed, or are you advising anybody get out to do anything at all?
No, I'd advise everyone to just stay put, hunker down, stay indoors. I mean, the conditions really aren't safe. And once all of this snow settles and the roads start to freeze, it's just going to be slick and messy out there. And so I would encourage anyone, unless it is an emergency, please do not try and get on the road at all. Just stay put inside and enjoy the snow. Make a snowman. You know, if you need to get outside, just go out there and make a snowman. But please don't get on the road.
And just to recap this, when it comes to water pressure, people running the water, boil water advisory, everything's fine. No worries about putting out fires or anything else. And again, the usual precautions with heating and using common sense and not killing yourself either with carbon monoxide or burning your house down.
Correct. And during the day, you don't need to trickle your faucet. You know, when everyone's up and, you know, using restrooms, washing hands, and you're keeping that flow through the system, you don't need to run the water. When you go to sleep, you can trickle, and just a trickle, not full blast, not every faucet. You just need a trickle just to keep the flow. It keeps it from freezing. And then when the first person gets up in the morning, you can shut all that off because there will be, you know, consumption going through the system. So we encourage residents to do the trickle, but whenever you wake up and everyone's moving around, you can shut all that off.
Yeah, it is a mixed bag because I know Colin Arnold, the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness earlier, was suggesting because of low water pressure in certain areas that people maybe refrain from dishwashers or using the laundry, the washing machine. However, as Matt Jewell said, and what you just said, Jacqueline, is that by doing those normal things, that keeps the water flowing so you don't have to run it.
It keeps it flowing, but so will just, you know, going to the restroom.
Right, exactly.
You know, you don't necessarily need to, you know, wash all the clothes in the house, but which it's funny because we know our residents when we prepare for a storm. I know I did, so let me make sure everything's washed. But just the normal little light consumption will keep enough water flowing through the pipe. So you don't need to do any of that. We want to conserve as best as we can.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Jacqueline Hotard, President of St. John the Baptist Parish, she said stay put, especially if you're a deer. 9:33, 27 till 10, traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, 9:39, 21 till 10. Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana. What is it called? WWL Louisiana forecaster. That's right.
It don't matter.
America's favorite weather forecaster, Peyton Malone, joins us now. Peyton, tell me, in terms of the way this is playing out, how's it comparing to what you thought it was going to be yesterday?
Honestly, it's going to plan, I would say. Nothing has been too shocking just yet. I think the winds have been a little bit stronger than what I thought they would be. But outside that, the totals are adding up. We've got reports anywhere from 2 to 3 inches in quite a few locations on the North Shore, South Shore, hanging on to about 1 to 2 inches at the moment. So,
What have we seen in terms of concentrations, and is there any kind of banding going on or anything?
There's some heavier bands. It's not anything that's really pronounced sticking out at the moment. I think we're about to get a pretty good heavy band moving through the city of New Orleans, but you know, we're far from done. I think we've got another, 9:40? This is probably going to go until 5 o'clock this afternoon.
So what kind of accumulation could we see when all of this is over? And I'll piggyback that with another question, which is, I keep going back to the snowfall. The last one I really remember of Christmas of 04, where we had these big, giant wet flakes.
Yeah.
I've not been outside a lot. Are we likely to see a lot of those, or are we seeing a lot of those?
At time, it'll be bigger flakes. They've been a little smaller this morning at times, but this is going to be way more snow than we've seen in 04, 08. The last big snowstorm we had was in the 60s, and this should outperform that by quite a bit, so... Really, no one alive has seen a snowstorm like this on the Gulf Coast.
So what kind of accumulation are we looking at when it's all said and done? Huh?
Right? Sorry, we were talking.
That's okay. So what kind of accumulation are you looking at when all is said and done? What kind of, I guess, standing snow, if that's what you call it, we would have on
snow,
on neutral
snow
grounds?
Depth. Snow depth, probably anywhere from 4 to 8 inches still seems like a good bet. There's going to be a couple spots that are higher, others lower. That's why we give a range.
Mm-hmm.
Just with these heavier bands coming through, we're probably going to add, several more inches to what we already have.
So then with the temperature, and I don't know what happens after that, if it just dries up or it doesn't rain, no more the precipitation after the snow, take me through that and icing of the streets and all that stuff and what happens with the freezing temperature meteorologically and everything else.
Well, the rest of today, snow's adding up. It'll stop adding up probably after 5 o'clock, and then nothing melts tonight. And anything that was on the roads that kind of got slushy will refreeze into just a block of ice tonight. So tomorrow morning travel will be more than likely a lot worse than this morning for any roads that have the snowpack on them. Tonight is also going to be like an ice box because we've got clearing skies and the snow. So you're going to talk about temperatures that are way colder than they normally would be just because the snow adds a chill. I think we could get down as low as like 10 degrees on the North Shore tonight, South Shore, and maybe around 19 degrees. So that's the problem tonight with the pipes bursting. And then as we head into tomorrow, we're going to see some sun tomorrow. And don't underestimate what the sun can do for melting. Even though it's going to be below freezing or right in the 30s for a big chunk of tomorrow, we're probably going to see some improvements on the roads thanks to the sunshine. And then Thursday morning, probably still some patchy ice, but we'll more than likely see quite a bit of melting by Thursday afternoon as we get into the 40s.
So I think that's interesting what you said, that the traffic conditions actually are as good now as they're going to get for the next 24 hours, right?
More than likely, yeah.
Or 48 hours?
Yeah, because we're just not going to see any melting today, and then it doesn't really start till tomorrow. We're going to stay below freezing all day today, all tonight, and then probably until around noon tomorrow it's below freezing.
So the cars go, and I'm not trying to be silly about this, but the cars go on the road. That melts the snow
into
water, but then it refreezes, and that's when the black ice happens?
And you get compact little pieces of ice. Instead of just a fluffy snow on the street, you actually get more of a solid ice situation on the street.
So, bottom line is for pipes and everything else, we've not seen the worst of the freezing at all.
No.
Now would be the time to enjoy the snow, and then tomorrow, tonight, after it stops, whatever was melted freezes. That's where the roads get icy and really dangerous. And then tomorrow, really plan on staying home as well.
Yeah, at least through tomorrow morning. We'll probably see big improvements Wednesday afternoon on some of like our elevated roadways and things like that. But I wouldn't be shocked if there's still some patchy areas of ice. Even Wednesday night, that'll refreeze. And so we've got another hard freeze Thursday morning across the area more than likely.
And to wrap this up and let you get back to work, snowfall until 3, 4 o'clock today?
Probably winds down after 5 o'clock, I think.
After 5 o'clock.
That'll be like when it starts to really taper off.
And around sunset.
Yeah, bitterly cold tonight.
Thank you, Peyton. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Y'all stay warm. Enjoy the snow.
You too. Enjoy it as well. Keith Hinckley joins us now, president of Plaquemines Parish, to get an update on Plaquemines. How you doing, Keith?
Man, I'm fine, Tommy, considering now, you know, the conditions.
Yeah, it started Sunday morning, I guess, and it freaked me out because, you know, I turn on a faucet, nothing happens. I check the, because there had been all of the talk of snow and everything, and I check the phone, it's like 50 degrees. So I'm thinking, wait, what? But tell people what happened and what the situation is with the water in Plaquemines Parish, please.
Well, about, I guess it's about 2:30, 3 o'clock Sunday morning. A young lady or an individual fell asleep at the wheel and ran off the road at the around the Methodist Church across the street from the high school, ran through a light electrical pole and really did a number on one of our fire hydrants. And when they broke it, it didn't break just at the ground level. It broke all the way down to our 20-inch main line, which services water from Belle Chasse to Port Sulphur. And it turned out to be quite the repair. Thank goodness for Inframark and Entergy. Those guys, they weathered the storm and stayed out there for 17 hours until they could get it repaired and, you know, restore water to the community.
So
now we are under a boil water advisory, because of this right here. The lab, LDH's lab, is up in A-Meet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Martin Luther King Day, and we tried to get them to get open so we could get a sample, but just weren't successful at that. And now here we are today and tomorrow. So it's probably going to be Thursday or Friday before we get samples up to A-Meet to get results, on our water situation. But we do have running water.
Let's talk about water pressure, people running faucets all the way down, up from Belle Chasse all the way down to Venice, and concerns moving forward here with this weather.
I'm sorry, Tommy. Say that by me again.
I was going to ask you to talk about concerns with the weather, starting at Belle Chasse, running all the way down to Venice, points in between. What are you hearing about snowfall and water pressure and people running faucets? I know that you're already under boil water advisory, so I don't imagine that would affect right. that. But when it comes to fighting fires and those kind of things.
Well, you know, you're right. Our pressure is back up to where we normally are. You know, we run at a higher pressure than our neighboring parishes do. So we're about 60 pounds of pressure. We're able to produce the water. We continue to produce the water. We just need to be, you know, we are going to be running the trickling of the water and all. And I guess as we monitor that, we just might have to just, you know, keep updates with the community on that as well.
Are you so there's no concern about low water pressure for firefighter or anything else anywhere in the parish?
Oh, no, sir, not right now, Tommy. And look, the other day, our fire department, they were in communications with Jefferson Parish's fire department. You know, although the water pressure was down low, we had two tanks ready to go from Jefferson Parish to come help us with any kind of fire. So, I mean, the fire departments, they were on top of things, due diligence and all, and they're in front of any kind of problems that we could potentially have.
What kind of snowfall is the parish seeing? Because I'm at work. I don't know. I live in Belchase. Is Belchase getting a lot?
Oh, we're getting it. It's almost – it's Tommy, I've lived in Germany and other world, you know, mm-hmm. places north of Louisiana, and I've seen real snowfall before. This is real snowfall.
What would you – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you about Highway 23 and so forth and being open and the Belchase Bridge or Woodland Highway access and egress from the parish into or out of it if people have to leave.
Right now, Woodland Bridge is closed down. They just shut that down in the last 30 minutes. The Empire Bridge is shut down in Empire. But the drawbridge on Highway 11, it's in a closed position. It's open to vehicle traffic. I haven't heard anything yet as far as the drawbridge in Belchase. And Plenary, they're monitoring the bridge, the new bridge that's being built. So those two bridges are still open.
If, for whatever reason, would there be a concern between the drawbridge and the new bridge that they built? Or is Sheriff saying anything about maybe two-way traffic to keep that open? And is that DOTD or is that the parish that's taking care of that?
DOTD takes care of the Belchase Bridge, which is the old drawbridge. Mm-hmm. Should it get closed, Plenary is monitoring the new bridge that's being built. And should the drawbridge get closed down, then they will do a contraflow, a two-way traffic on the big bridge.
So what's your concern right now, Keith, as we go into tonight and the next couple of days, or next day, really, I guess?
I guess the biggest concerns is, you know, the amount of snowfall, the amount of time that we're going to be under freezing conditions, and it just being able to monitor that and keeping people safe at home and staying off the highways and just realize how bad a situation that this is right here.
And also, I guess, be aware of the space heaters and the fireplaces and those kind of things. Just, I always tell people, if you're doing something that's outside of your normal routine, think twice about it.
Well, and another thing I always say, if you have to ask, then maybe you shouldn't.
There you go. You know? Don't do it. Thank you, Keith. Any final thoughts?
No, Tommy, I appreciate the opportunity to spread the news for Plaquemines Parish, and thanks for everything that you do for us as well.
You bet. Anything changes, let us know. Keith Hinckley, president of Plaquemines Parish. And I would encourage everybody, especially my neighbors, to take some pictures of your houses and your neighbors' houses, because you never know what if they'll be able to take them or not. Maybe you get a better shot than they do and make a great Christmas card next year if you can have a picture of your house in the yard with a couple inches of snow on it. So get out there, take pictures, have fun, play with your kids. Just be safe. We'll take a break. Talk to Newell Norman when we come back here on WWL as our coverage of the great snowfall of 2020.